Good morning, everyone. It's an honor to worship with you this morning. If you're a member here or a regular attendee, you'll know that we've recently decided to make the Great Commission. Remember what that is? Matthew 28, verse 19. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. We've decided to make that part of our church's mission, and you can see that on the front of your bulletin. Making loving disciples. They did that so I could remember it. I can remember that one. And where does the loving part come from? The two most important commandments. God says, love me and love one another. So that's all tied together in our new mission statement. So we're trying to achieve a discipling culture in our church. And to do this, we're associating the activities of the church with these four sort of things that happen in nature. Plant, sprout, grow, and bear fruit. And you've already had sermons on the first two, plant and sprout. And if you're a first-time attendee, just go to our website, or let's say you've missed a Sunday in there, go to our website and you can see the content from those two sermons. Today we're going to talk about grow, and then next week, Consecration Sunday, we're going to talk about bearing fruit. I can't wait for that one. So, show of hands, we're going to make disciples. Show of hands, who went to discipling 101 in this church? I can't remember ever attending something called Discipling 101. So we're supposed to do something, but how do we do it? Well, what is discipleship? I've got a definition for you I'd like to run by you this morning. It's learning. Discipleship is learning and living the ways of Jesus so that others learn and live his ways too. So that others live and learn his ways too. It's like paying it forward. We keep it going, keep the motion going. And it's all about proclaiming the message that God has come near. We live by his ways, reflect his love by reaching out as a friend to people around us every day. And that's how other disciples are made. And Jesus taught his disciples that same way over time. He did it in the middle of his relationship with them. And the process allowed them to learn and live, to be served and to serve, and have both theory and practice. Then he released them to connect and engage and learn and live and lead others to him immediately. So it's easy then, I think, to conclude that discipling is a process which, as it, at its core, values the necessity of experiencing life together. That's what we're doing. We're all in this together, as we say in LifeTree. So we've been starting this process and doing this process at the church, at this church, for quite some time. We have small group ministries like the quilting folks, prayer study, Bible study, and we recently cranked up our D48 dinner for eight activities, and I think we had a great turnout. More than half the adults in the church are actually attending D48, and so the stated intent of this is to deepen relationships, so to turn friends that you see here into family. And believe me, it's a continuing process and not a goal. It's growing in Jesus, and it's something we do every day, not just here on Sunday. And it's about living, loving, and obeying Jesus. And it's not about knowing the books of the Bible forward and backwards. You know who you are out there. Some of you do this. You know it, forward and backwards. I'm not one of them, but it's not your Bible knowledge. It's just walking hand in hand with others, and hand in hand with Jesus, shoulder to shoulder with others. So I want to talk a little bit about the epistle text today. It means, in discipleship means intentionally partnering with another Christian. So Jesus taught his disciples to follow him and obey his commands so that they could lead others to do the same thing, paying it forward again. And when he's talking to Timothy in the epistle today, he says, verse 2, "And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." See that? It's the teaching others business. It's paying forward. So as we allow others into our lives and let them help us obey Jesus, we also need to reach out and disciple them. And that sounds something like mentoring, doesn't it? Most of you know that I like the 20th century philosopher Will Rogers. So for this sermon and the next couple, I'm going to change my philosopher to this guy. Could we show the first slide, please? Coach Lou Holtz. I think people that are my age or maybe a little younger know who he is. He's a man of faith. and a really good mentor and motivator, successful college coach, news analyst, and he actually coached in the NFL for a few years. Let's hear what he has to say. Let's go to the next slide. So I like these three right here. And I know Pastor Hook could do a sermon on any one of these. Life is 10% what happens to you, but 90% how you respond, okay? Christians respond in the right way, I hope. And it's not the load, it's how you carry it. And then making a big life change is scary. I think some of us have been through that. But you know what's even scarier? Regret. So in other words, if you don't make that change, later on you go, why didn't I do that? We're going to hear more from him in just a moment. You can take that one down now if you would. And I want to tell you a funny story about Lou Holtz. He's been married to Beth since 1961, and they have a loving relationship. And when they were first married, they went to the beach. And if you've ever seen Lou, he's really skinny. I can't believe he was a football player at Kent State. He was a linebacker of all things. But anyway, she says, Lou, you sure are skinny, aren't you? And Lou said to Beth, honey, I need to remind you that I have a few minor defects that kept me from getting a better wife. Now, gentlemen, I don't recommend you try this at home. It doesn't work. Does not work. So, but the coach does have a quote that I want to talk about on growth, and you're going to hear it in just a minute. But what does a mentor do? A mentor shares his wisdom and experience with someone so that person doesn't make that same mistake, right? And help you get through life better. And so it's part of discipleship. It's not all discipleship. But here at CLV, we're going to do a four-process way to grow. And the four things that we're talking about are mentoring, small groups, leadership development, and last but not least, encouragement. Think about what encouragement does for us. Just ask anyone I play golf with. I wouldn't be out there if there weren't somebody encouraging me. You know what I mean? But there's some good news for you. It does not take a divinity degree to do this or special qualifications. Anybody can do it. And the deacons are going to try to lead this process for you. And so just think about the original 12 were just ordinary people like you and me. And through all those efforts over the centuries, we are here today worshiping. I think that's pretty good. So to disciple someone, this is it. You just follow and obey Jesus in your own life and be willing to help someone else do the same. That's it. What do you think about that? Let's go to the quote by Coach Holtz. The coach he's really good at commencement speeches. He's a good motivator. And he said this one. Don't you love his outfit? He says, in this world, you're either growing or dying. So get in motion and grow. And so he says this applies to a business, an athletic team, a relationship, and certainly an individual's spiritual growth. In the same commencement speech, he also said something to me that's very comforting. He said, you know what? You can make a ton of money, buy all the toys and knickknacks your house will hold, be a great sports hero, have all kinds of trophies and high honors, advanced degrees, but none of that stuff can you take with you when you leave this world. But one of the things that you can take with you is the loving discipleship that you provided for a fellow Christian's spiritual growth. That's a pretty good thought, isn't it? I can take that with me. So, thank you for that, folks. We'll take that slide down now. Now, I like that Old Testament text today in Micah. It says, the Lord told you what's good and what he really wants from you. I cannot think of a more succinct or powerful expression of how God wants us to behave. And living obediently requires making the right day-to-day decisions. So how do I make decisions in my Christian life? Well, you can go ahead and put up the next slide if you would. I call this thing the four C's, and I got it from a person named Pastor Josh McDowell. And the first C is consider the choice. What's right, what's wrong, and who determines what's right and what's wrong? I think we know it's God. Consider, and then compare it to God's Word. What does the Scripture have to say about what God wants you to do? Then C, choose. Choose the biblical way and make a commitment that you will go the way that God wants you to do. And lastly, for count. Count on God for protection, and He will provide for you. And I want to make a quick statement about the Bible helping you make decisions. We do have various Bible studies going on in this church, and next year we're going to start, I'm not exactly sure when, I call it Life Applications Bible Study. And so it's the issues that you face in day-to-day life. Where is it in the Bible? What's the guidance in the Bible? And there's 52 weeks of this, so 52 little guidance principles in here for you. It's bite-size, and I think it's going to be a good study, and look for that in your in our announcements and so forth. What I want to do now is move on to the gospel. John 15:5, I am the vine, you are the branches, whoever abides in me and I in him. You know, Jesus, and Pastor, that was a great children's sermon, and it really fits in well with some of the things I want to say now. Jesus often uses the grapevine as a metaphor for the nation of Israel. But today I want to see if you can pick out an additional metaphor in here. And that is, you know, you saw that it's a woody structure, it looks like a tree, but you never use grapevines for building materials, right? Like 2x4s and things like that. They're not useful. They're woody, but they're not useful as other wood. And maybe an artsy, craftsy person could make a basket out of it, weave it into a basket. But I can't think of a much use of a grapevine other than making fruit. And later on, the last part of the text today, we talk about the vines that aren't, they're going to be clipped and burnt. And what I want to tell you is that the metaphor in there for into the fire is judgment. And I want to say to you in the kindest way I can think possible, Jesus really wants us to bear fruit and make disciples. So next Sunday, sermon's all about a difference. A living plant shows when it's bearing fruit. You know, an orange tree with no fruit, an orange tree with fruit, it really looks nice, doesn't it? So what difference do you think there are when a Christian bears fruit? I hope you'll attend next Sunday and find out. And don't forget that next Sunday is Consecration Sunday. We talked earlier about the offering. Let's put up the last slide, if we would, please. We talked earlier about the offering. This time, a little different, on the back of your card has time and talents. You know, Jesus loves a cheerful giver. And that's what we're talking about on the front side. But also on the back side, we're talking about giving too, giving your time and talents. Maybe some of these things you have a passion for, you'd like to volunteer your time. Or maybe you have the talent that jives with some of these things. And so something that's a little bit different this next Sunday is normally we just turned in one card per family unit. You're going to have an opportunity next Sunday for everybody to fill out a card, at least on the backside, to donate your time and talents. So I hope that you'll attend next Sunday. Thoughtfully consider how you'll complete your card. You can take the slide down, and I pray that the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. God's people say amen.
Amen.
If the ushers would come forward, we'll take the offering at this time.